Good morning. This is Faith by the Lake podcast, sermon for March the 22nd, 2020. Let's begin with an opening prayer. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The topic today is Jesus the God-man. Our text is John 1:1-14. Today we're going to walk through the opening passages of John 1, where Jesus is described as God, who came down to earth and lived as man while remaining fully God. John 1 begins like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, He was in the beginning with God. For only the second time in Scripture does a passage begin with the phrase, in the beginning. The other is the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning has a wide field of meaning. It means a starting point, the original beginning of all things, the first cause of all things that were created, the one with the power and authority to create and rule, to be the first, the one who does something before others. In the beginning can refer to the first ruler, commander, or prince, the one having the power needed for commanding creation into existence, the one who is the defining point where all things in heaven and earth began. The phrase was the Word. The Greek word for the Word is logos. It means the Word of God, the true utterance of God, the Word expressed in the person and meaning of God. He will speak to our intellectual, rational, and spiritual hunger at the deepest depths. The Word is eternally with God. Eternally God, no beginning and no ending. So we must ask the question, who is this Word? As I read further down, John 1:14 gives us the answer. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, who became flesh and lived among us. So the Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the Word, the Eternal One, who has always existed with God and indeed is God. Verse 3 goes on to say, all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. The sum of all things had the origin in Jesus. Nothing existed or exists that has not been created by his hand. All created things have their beginnings and their origins in Jesus. So what does that mean? That means that Jesus is omnipotent, possesses every modicum of power in the universe, that he is eternal. His life did not begin when he was born in a cave in Bethlehem to the young virgin named Mary. He has always existed. Jesus is omnipresent. He is not limited to time and space. Jesus indeed is the giver of life. Verse 4 and 5 says of John chapter 1, in him was life. Life is that which creates and sustains all life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Life is defined as a brightness, a hope, a salvation, a triumph, a victory over the darkness. A light that overcomes evil. In verse 9, it says that Jesus is the true light, which gives light to everyone. He was coming into the world. So Jesus was not a false light, but a nor a false guide, but a true light and a true guide, a trusted path. He is trustworthy. He is truthful. Yet, oddly enough, verse 10 says, he was in the world, the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came, the word came in the flesh, and the people he came to was his own people, his very own creation. Yet they did not recognize him. They did not see him for who he really was. They did not recognize him as God. There was a spiritual blindness that kept a veil over their eyes. There was a deep refusal to admit their need for a Savior and to heed his call for salvation. These two things today keep us from recognizing him as our Lord and as our God. It says his own people did not receive him. Jesus' own people did not welcome him as their Savior, their Messiah, their Redeemer. Instead, they belittled him, accused him of having a demon, tried him as a criminal, and had Pilate crucify him. The very ones that Jesus came to save rejected him and sought to save themselves by their own self-righteous acts. Verse 12 has good news, though. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, everyone derives their physical life from God, but only those who receive Jesus become the sons and daughters of God, recreated in the image of their Creator. So what does it mean to receive him? To receive him means to welcome him, make a home for him in our hearts, to trust in him. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is not merely to believe the facts of his historic life or in his great teachings, but to accept him as Savior, teacher, champion, judge. To trust in him for present and future salvation, and to accept and embrace his teachings and example as being necessary for living in every phase of our life. It means to have a right to all of his gifts, a right to be called by his name, a right to be those agents of reconciliation that God sends into the world to reconcile the world to himself through Jesus. A right to be born anew through the power of the Holy Spirit. A right to become and to continue to become a part of the family of God, who call God their Father and Jesus their brother. The right to be birthed by God, not through our self-effort, but born into God's family by God's own choosing. This new birth is not about heritage or desire or human power. It's simply brought about by God's choice alone. Verse 14 says, and the word became flesh. The phrase became flesh means more than the fact that Jesus adapted or took on the quality of a human body. He took on human nature entirely, identifying himself with humankind, having a true body, soul, and spirit. He did not assume humanity as something alien to himself. The incarnation was not a mere accident of his eternal being. He deliberately became flesh and did not merely clothe himself in flesh, but became human, as much human as we are. And he dwelt among us. He pitched his tent among us. He lived like us. He experienced our suffering and died a true physical death. But in all that he did, we saw his glory, his splendor, his brightness, his shining radiance, his amazing might, demonstrations of his power, his honor, his greatness, his wonderfulness. Through his miracles, his words, and mighty resurrection, he revealed the true nature of God to all of us and revealed himself as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He was and is full of grace, God's unmerited favor that never runs out and is never ours to earn nor ours to lose. He is full of grace. He overflows with this wonderful grace. He had grace and offers grace in infinite amounts, not because we can earn it through obeying outward rules and regulations, but because he makes us partakers of his righteousness. The last verse says this: no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Jesus has made the living God visible to all. Philippians 2:5-11 describes what Jesus did when he became flesh. This reading is from the Message. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself. They had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave and became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient, and then life, and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anything or anyone that was ever made or created, so that all created things in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all to the glorious honor of God the Father. This is the Jesus we serve and worship. Not just a nice guy or great teacher or even a good example. He is our Lord and our God. Jesus, you who created all that we see, feel, smell, and touch,